Man, that episode of X-Men 97 yesterday. Man.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay.
Man, okay. That was the season finale, man.
It was man. The season finale.
Wow. So many words. We just can't say anything about it.
And so we won't.
Yep, we will not. We can't because we're actually recording this the day before the episode.
And yeah. So what are we talking about this time?
Well, it's not X-Men 97 this time. Sorry, people. But we're talking about Rebel Moon parts 1 and 2.
Both of them. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. The long-awaited series by Zack Snyder. Let's introduce ourselves. I am Josh, a.k.a. Prop Josh. And I am joined by Jason, a.k.a. Smiley.
It is I.
And we are brothers. Yep. For those who are just first episode.
Like, yeah, hey, you never know. Guys. Yeah. So thank you for
it's always somebody's first.
Somebody
episode.
Would definitely start listening to on this. They're like, "Ooh, Rebel Moon! I'm
a big fan of Rebel Moon.
I can't wait to hear these thoughts about Rebel Moon."
I got so much. I need to hear all the info between all the different characters they have and the storyline and
what
they think is going to happen next.
I'm
a huge fan of Rebel Moon, so I got to tune into their podcast about it.
Yep.
Well, you're in luck. Because that's what we're going to talk
about.
We're
talking about all of the characters, all of the people.
Yep. As if there were one character, like a one big summary instead of individuals.
So, okay. You say we ain't gonna talk about this long, but I'm looking forward to the conversation.
Goodness. So before we talk about this conversation, well, this movie, it's all right. So let's talk about Zack Snyder, his movies.
Yeah,
you know, you've seen Zack Snyder
movies. I feel like I've seen
all
his movies at some point.
Has some good, it's ups and downs with Zack Snyder.
Okay, what were some of the movies, just to remind me?
Okay, The Watchmen.
Oh yeah,
that's what
is that his first one?
Into
or
it.
That was his like
no, that's not his
that
first
his coming,
one, but that's the
that was his that, like breakout movie.
Sorta, I would say 300.
Oh, he did 300. Yeah,
I would say 300 is when I first noticed him. But Watchmen is what got me for him for superhero movies.
I mean, 300.
I think that's what got.
That was a good one.
Yeah,
that was really good.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He
I might have to watch.
I mean,
that one
you
again.
Could tell. You could tell it's a Zack Snyder film. This is his trademark. Slow mo.
Mm-hmm.
So if you remember 300, when he pushed that guy in that pit or whatever, and it was all in slow motion, that's how you know Zack Snyder.
That felt epic at the time. It was really like, whoa.
Yeah. At the time,
man, because you can't, you visually can't see in slow motion. So when the action slows down, then you're like, wow, that's extra. So 300 was good. And Watchmen was, that brought some life to characters I didn't know anything about. So that was good.
Yeah. I had to read it after. He did a real good job with Watchmen, actually.
Did he write that or he just directed it? Because, I mean, Watchmen is already a comic. I'm pretty sure he didn't. Did he write 300? Because 300 is based off of a true story, or isn't it?
I think it is based off of a... I'm looking up his writing credits right now. And 300, he wrote the
300.
Screenplay
for
that. Yep. He wrote
the
screenplay. So
wrote and directed 300.
Yes. But some movies he just, he written by. All right. So he also did Sucker Punch, which is not as good.
I don't think I've seen that one.
That's what the girls are in a.
I've seen the picture and the trailer, but I don't actually think I watched it.
Yeah, it was weird. Cause
random. Michael B. Gordon wrote the screenplay with Zack Snyder, not Michael B. Jordan. Michael B. Gordon. So anyway, So Sucker Punch.
He wrote the story for Wonder Woman. I didn't know that. Justice League and Justice. Yeah, he wrote. He did a story for Zack Snyder's Justice League, Army of the Dead.
Yeah,
I remember him doing that.
Okay, that was recent.
So the certain movies that he write and then certain movies he direct. But for directing,
Army of the Dead, was that the heist zombie movie? Yeah, that was the movie that they had to go to Vegas and they were zombies. They were having a fight.
Oh,
that was actually a really good movie. I was surprised at how good that movie was.
Yeah, that was a good movie. I did like that movie, though, for real.
So he wrote and directed and developed a story from that. Yeah, produced it. That was his movie, Unplugged.
Because he did Dawn of the Dead. He did Dawn of the Dead back in 2004. That's when I first noticed him, was Dawn of the Dead.
Okay.
Where they were like stuck inside of a mall.
Okay, I don't think I've seen that one.
Oh, you should. That's one of his first ones. That's the first one I noticed of him. And then 300 came out, and then he did Watchmen.
Is that
Sucker Punch, Man of Steel?
Is that story connected to... is that like a remake of the original?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
That's what it was.
All right. So James Gunn wrote that screenplay and he directed it.
Yeah, so they... Oh, I didn't... Yeah,
2004.
That's right.
Yeah, so...
They've done stuff together before. Okay, all right. Because it seems like James Gunn's taking over DC and DC's kind of pushing Zack Snyder out. Like, we don't want you no more.
Because, like, so... The Snyder cut of the Justice League movie, because
you're right.
Who directed the Justice League, the one that was released?
The original one was by him and Joss Whedon.
And so
Zack Snyder had a tragedy in his family and he got off the project and they got Joss Whedon in because he's like, hey, man, you did great with Avengers.
Yeah.
DC was so obvious grabbing directors from Marvel.
Yeah, they trying. They're like, we got money. We ain't got the Disney money, but we got money.
Right, but Zack Snyder was somebody they had on board from the get-go because of Watchmen, and then he was doing Man of Steel.
Yeah,
and so from then on, he also did Batman v Superman, which I'm not a fan of.
But so He did Man of Steel. That was like his first Disney movie that he directed but didn't write it.
You mean DC movie?
I said Disney. I meant DC, yeah.
Yeah, his first DC movie. I mean, technically it's Watchmen.
Sorry, Mickey Mouse, if you're listening.
Who the fuck are you? Oh, who the fuck are Josh and Jason?
Okay. But yeah, his first DC movie was Man of Steel, right?
Yeah.
Technically, it was DC.
Yeah, Watchmen's DC.
Okay, so yeah. Got it. All right.
So, but yeah, mainstream DC is Man of Steel. Mm-hmm.
I actually loved Man of Steel. That was a very good movie.
I did too. It's the only DCEU movie I own.
Same.
It's the only one that I own.
I actually got that.
Even though
DVD.
I do like a few of them, I do like the Snyder cut of the Justice League. I do like
that. Yeah, there's something about that works that didn't work with the original. Or the original
feels
release.
Too jumbled.
Yeah.
It kind of feels like a mess. Whenever you have a lot of studio hands and more than one director and everybody's changing this way, and the movie feels pulled
all kinds of ways. They had to change out the CGI, the old dude's Superman's face because he had a mustache. Because
they did
growing.
Reshoots.
Yeah, because he was working on another film. So,
and then when you watch the Snyder cut and you see what he really wanted to do, I'm like, oh, okay. And he's telling us, and it's a 4-hour movie, so of course you watch it like it's a mini series.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I didn't watch it in one sitting.
The Justice League.
Yeah, I watched it in four parts, and I was like, hey, man, it's pretty good. You know,
right? It is. It was pretty good. So I was like, I gotta give him his flowers for that. You know, for real.
So when I heard about the Rebel Moon, I was like, okay, Snyder, you know, not held down by the plot of DC world, can just go and do whatever he wants. Netflix gives him the green light to just do what he wants. And I'm like, I liked, you know, the Army of the Dead. So if like that was his, you know, zombie movie again, you know, so maybe his sci-fi Unplugged movie is going to be epic. So well, that's what I thought.
What I heard was that he wanted to make a Star Wars movie. And I think he went to George Lucas or Lucasfilms, and they denied him.
Before Disney and took so over? I
don't know.
At any point.
I'm getting.
He didn't get the green light. Yeah.
But yeah, he didn't. So he was going to do this on his own. Because, you know, he's a big director.
Right. He got money.
So why not do his version of Star Wars, basically?
So this
which
was, so was this the same?
That happens nowadays, if you notice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because Rick and Morty mm-hmm. was made from Back to the Future.
Yeah.
Fifty Shades of Grey was made from Twilight. Mm-hmm. You know, so that happens nowadays. People like to take another property and make it their own, and then they have the whole thing, their own thing. The Boys is from Justice League. Yeah. So that happens.
Yeah, I think we said something about one of the movies should have did that. I forget what it was. We said should have did that. Instead of doing a remake, they should have just made another. Did something different. Oh, that was...
Did we say Good Times?
Yeah, that was what we said.
Yeah, Good Times has never been made.
So I have... So as we talk about this, the movie, and knowing that Snyder wanted to do a Star Wars movie, it would be good to like parallel, which is, wouldn't be that hard, find the characters that he would have wanted to be and what time, because my thought is, what time period of Star Wars was he writing? Where was it? I mean, my thought, Rebel Moon, I feel like it's in the rebellion in between three and four somewhere.
Which is the best time to write a Star Wars movie for real.
I think it's right. It's like either right around or parallel to Rogue One. I think it's like that period. So, or it could have been his Rogue One and they just rejected his script.
It could be, because now that you mentioned Rogue One, this movie is similar to Rogue One.
Yeah.
Now you think about mm-hmm. it, it's like, wait a minute, they do have a lot in common.
Yeah. Because, I think the robot kind of looks like the main robot in Rogue One.
And there's a bunch of characters in Rogue One that's all working together. The protagonist is a lady.
Mm-hmm.
The interesting past, I guess you could say.
You got the villain who is returns from with a bionic chamber. So okay, we're gonna spoil it. If you hadn't watched it, if you wanted to watch it, don't waste your time. If you wanted to watch,
hey, some people like
if
it.
You wanted to watch this, and I used it to help me to fall asleep. So if you need a solution to your insomnia, put on Rebel Moon 1 and 2.
Tell us how you really feel.
Yeah. And so, but we're gonna spoil it as much as we can. I don't know, like as much as we remember, and as much as it is to spoil, because
we're not going to do a play by play.
We don't want to waste your time with that. So
we can't remember everything that happened, but and it's kind of we're going to be jumping all over the place between both movies.
Yep.
To there right now.
I thought that the second one was going to be better than the first one. I was hoping, but the first one was better than the second one. But that's not saying much.
Yeah,
it should have been. It could have been one movie, because the second one, half of the second one, is literally them looking at wheat on a farm. Man. So, okay, all right. What do you know? What do you think this movie's about?
Which one?
Both of them. Just the whole plot line. Like, what's the Rebel Moon?
All right. So,
what's the Rebel Moon about?
What I got from it was this wheat is very important.
It's like magical wheat or something. Like,
I have no idea.
Gives them magical powers. It heals them of all ills.
But I think they stole something from Dune, because Dune is all about spices.
Oh, okay.
Because Star Wars, I think, Star Wars takes little things from everything.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of movies that Star Wars is actually from. There's nothing original nowadays, people.
Yeah.
So, and of course, now that Star Wars is a big IP, people take from that mm-hmm. one as well. But Dune was a big, you know, Dune was based off a book, thing right? before. Yeah. So. I think Dune was before Star Wars.
Yeah.
So I think they took a little bit from that as well. I guess these spices are spices. Wheat. That's Dune. Wheat is very important.
Grain.
But what I got from the first movie, though, was that I was having fun with it, though. Mm-hmm. Even though it was kind of boring, I got to admit, like, I was watching it with Andy, and we were having fun.
Yeah. I feel like we should have watched the second one together. We were talking about watching it together when I was in town, but
I don't think we would have had fun. No. With the second
one. I fell asleep. I would have probably fell asleep.
It would have been when we watched The Matrix.
Which I also fell
asleep. The latest Matrix movie. Yeah. So we watched the latest Matrix movie.
That time I was there for Christmas.
We had everybody over my house for Christmas. And I swear to you, everybody fell asleep.
I mean, except for me. The itis. We ate all Christmas dinner and stuff like that. And
everybody was knocked out. That's how boring the movie was. So I have a feeling Rebel Moon 2 would have done the same thing.
I wanted this movie to be good. I really did. I wanted it to be good. And I was really hopeful, you know? So.
Yeah. Well, like I said, it started off okay because, like, I got that they wanted to get this wheat, and this girl was, like, on this
moon
planet or whatever. It's a moon, I guess. Yeah. This
farm
and the empire. Moon? Yeah. This farm planet.
Mm-hmm.
And the empire was showing up and they wanted to
get their taxes, you know.
Yeah. And
give
tax
us all
the people. And
the
people
us all
like,
the wheat, all the grains.
Right. And they're like, no, we need enough for ourselves. You know, we can't we'll produce that much and stuff. And then the guy kills which I knew was going to happen a mile away, going to kill the leader. It was a lot of build up. I remember laughing about it because I kept saying, he's so obviously going to die. Mm-hmm. Just hurry up and kill him.
Right.
It just kept prolonging it. I'm like, because it starts off like Inglourious Basterds because these guys are like Nazi looking people. They dress up like Nazis, literally. Like Nazis. So that's what I got from it. So I was like, okay, this is a little interesting movie. That's all I knew about it. I thought there was going to be more space stuff, like different aliens. Because that's the one thing I like about space movies is seeing different aliens that's along with humanoid people.
Yeah.
That's why I love Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah,
Guardians
they do
of
that
Galaxy
well. They definitely show
it's got to be like one of the best space movies. Mm-hmm. One of the best other than Star Wars kind of thing, you know,
right?
Because that's what Star Wars do too. You'll see different people, you know, you'll see people, humanoid people, then you'll see robots, and then you'll see alien creatures, and I like that kind of stuff.
But they show some
this movie
they show that.
That
when they go
they
when
they show a robot though.
You know, when they go to the when they go to the canteen and they meet Han Solo and Jabba
my gosh. No. I forgot about that part. Oh man, I completely forgot about that part. It was such a ripoff. Oh my goodness. They literally
had to find a pilot. So they're on the planet. They had to find a pilot.
So
that's what happened, right? They had to find a pilot.
Yes. They literally had to. So they leave the farmland and go into the cantina. And that's where you see all the alien
people. That's where the alien people are. That's exactly where they are.
All in a bar.
They're at a bar.
And they meet this Han Solo-like guy. Yeah. That's kind of a badass kind of guy.
Yeah. Played Rebel, by, Rebel without a cause.
The only person with a personality in this movie, too. Played by Charlie Hunnam.
Mm-hmm.
I hope I'll get his name right.
Yeah.
Because he's from Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah, I knew he looked familiar.
Yeah. So he's an actual celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
And Charlie Hunnam, I want to say his name. Charlie Hunnam, yeah. And I remember and the character's name was Kai. So he was like the only one I kind of remembered more when I was watching the first movie because he had a personality. He actually was like, okay. But, you know, it turns out that he was a traitor.
Yeah, that's
Then he gets killed.
Yeah.
And so
his
of course, when he gets...
ends, yeah, so he doesn't last to the second movie.
Right. He gets killed in the first movie. And when the climax hits, he is revealed that he's a traitor. And I'm like, of course, the one guy with the personality. So, and so this is the problem with the rest of the characters of the first movie. It looks good. Now, Zack Snyder, like I said, give his flowers because he... can make a good looking movie. all his movies look good. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say that right now. There's not a single movie that Zack Snyder made that doesn't look good.
Yeah.
Now, as far as plot, and if it's interesting, that's a whole nother story. So, and I'm just being, you know, I'm being critical, you know, but that's just the way I see it. Yeah, I'm still giving his flowers. I still say he's a way better director than I would ever be. You know,
I wouldn't say ever, but you know.
Well, you know, because he's going to make the money. He's going to have the visuals. He's going to do it better. But
yeah, so I mean, he does like, so there are really good shots and, you know, just good flow, like the way that you see the characters and, you know, some epic slow motion adventure things.
The problem is story and characters.
So when I watched the first one, it felt like, and I said this to you after you watched it, because you watched it more recently. I watched it as soon as it came out. You just watched it right before the second one came out. When I watched it, it felt like multiple story. Like it felt like it should have been a mini series with multiple episodes. Yes, but what happened, every 30 minutes there was a new character they introduced.
I was going to get to that.
But
so
they didn't develop the character.
That's the problem. So they meet. So she's basically like, I'm putting a crew together.
Yeah, which I absolutely love that. I love that kind of thing. Like, oh, you know, like, because Rick and Morty made fun of that with the heist stuff. It's like, yeah,
and they always do that with heist movies. And, you know, you see that. And you see that in Fast and Furious.
Yeah, Fast and Furious does it. So it's like, it's a thing.
So, Star Wars kind of did this, and Guardians of the Galaxy definitely did this. But the way Guardians of the Galaxy worked, they kind of fell into each other kind of thing.
Yeah, I love that. That was the first Guardians of the Galaxy, the way they found each other and they just was in prison. That was a great way of building that team together. And so,
Right. They didn't like each other. Mm-hmm. They just kind of, with Rebel Moon, she's going around because she's looking for Titus. That's the
main person. She was a part of the Imperial, you know,
guard. Yeah, she was part of their team.
She worked for Darth Vader. I mean, for
Thanos.
She was the person that worked for the bad guy and just kind of like hid herself into a planet and just was going to retire on a planet, you know, farming wheat. But
kind of like Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So that's what's like, it's taken for a lot of these different things.
So she didn't want to do nothing. She didn't really care. She was just going to run away and not deal with it because she was like, I'm going to just deal my own thing. But then the guards basically like were very rapey. They were on the planet.
Oh, yeah. When they're on the planet.
On the moon.
The farm planet. It was like, those guys were. So they were. So one thing I have to give Snyder for this was the soldiers were very, very, they had personality. Now they had personality. They weren't like stormtroopers.
Stormtroopers don't have personality. They don't.
They're just there.
That's very true.
So these guys were no stormtroopers. Their personality was terrible people. They try to rape this girl. They straight up trying to rape a girl, this young girl who looked like she's like 15 years old. So, of course, when I'm watching, I'm like, yeah, these dudes need to fucking die. That's what I was watching. I was like, yeah, there's no way. There's no redemption for these guys. Yeah. Kill them. And one of the soldiers tried to fight them off from the girl because he's like a young soldier.
Oh, yeah. They pushed him aside.
And then, like, well, because he comes back in the second movie, but you just forget about him.
Didn't realize.
I know.
We gotta go through
the characters to see if we remember these characters. I want us to go through the characters.
Oh my goodness.
I want us to go through the characters. Let's go through the characters. Okay. We need to go through the characters. So he's one character, and of course she, you know, that's when she, you know, the main girl,
Cora or Kara or something like that. Cora,
Cora.
Yeah, Cora.
So Cora, that's when you reveal that she's a badass and she beats, you know, she kills those guys, not beats them off.
Yeah, that's a different, that means something completely different. But yeah, so she kills them,
these
and the robot, he comes in.
Yeah, the robot's name is Jimmy. He's voiced by Anthony Hopkins.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah.
He killed, yep. He helps kill them?
No.
What does he do?
Because he runs away.
That's right, because he doesn't, he's a retired soldier, so they deprogrammed him to from fighting after the war, because there was a war between the machines and the humans.
I did not know that, and I've watched movies.
I think, it was at Star Wars. They were clones.
That might be Star Wars.
Were they fighting the clones and the robots? Was that Clone Wars?
You might be.
There was, but he was a decommissioned soldier.
But they messed with the robot, Jimmy. I feel bad for him. I did actually feel bad for him.
As soon as they took him out the box, they just started treating him like a slave. They just spitting on him. It's like, you can't shoot, you can't do nothing because you're stupid, slave.
Right.
I mean, I almost thought they were going to say the N-word for a second.
You robot.
They're Nazis, you know. It's like,
I know they are,
you know. So,
but when Cora does her thing and then saves, and Jimmy's right there, and he just runs.
But he
away.
Bonds with like, the little I'm girl. Like he becomes friends with her, right?
Yeah, he does bond with a little girl
that was rapey. So that's why I thought he was going to save her, but he didn't.
Yeah, he doesn't do. And I thought he's going to go on them with their. I thought he's about to go with them.
Right,
on their
it was
mission.
Like, yeah, we building up a team. You know, first person we're going to get is, you know, this robot.
Jimmy.
Yeah, he's a commission. Yeah,
but he runs away.
He runs away.
And we don't see him until the very last shot of the movie, of the first movie, where he has antlers on and a cape. It's like, okay, he went through his own movie.
Right. That's what's so funny. We were talking about this. Like, we did not see, and we don't see him to the last scene of the second
right,
movie.
Exactly.
Like, so he's not even a main character in the second movie.
Well, no, he shows up in the second movie.
He does some things. Yeah, that's the thing. He finally fights.
It's just toward the
right,
end.
Right, that's what I'm
though,
saying.
At the climax,
he comes at the climax of the second movie. So you don't really see other than that. Like, he's wearing the antlers. Like, how did he get those antlers in the first place?
I know. I want to see his
like,
story.
Why? How did he get a cape? Why is he so epic? He's the best character in the movie.
Because he's hardly seen on screen.
And we don't know anything about him at all. And we don't see anything from him. So I feel like if there's another cut, which it probably is, right?
And there got to be a Snyder cut.
Maybe that Snyder cut has the adventure of Jimmy in it.
I'm not watching it, though.
Oh, goodness. Oh, boy.
At this point, you should
have
made
it
more interesting for me.
Just Jimmy, the movie.
Maybe. Maybe you'll do a miniseries, maybe. But, all right, so let's see if we can remember all the characters. So there was the guy that she's on the farm planet with. That she likes a lot, that she tells her backstory to.
I don't remember nothing about him.
I guess his name is Gunner?
That sounds
right. Yes, Gunner. Yes, that's Gunner, yes.
So that's
the
one.
Darth Vader guy, his name is Atticus. Because I'm looking at the names on IMDb.
Oh, okay, that's how you remember
that's the only reason. I ain't that good.
So.
Not at all.
So, yeah.
So they're on a mission to find Titus, played by... who's actually in Guardians of the Galaxy, Jimon Hansu. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm saying his first name right, but you know him from Amistad.
Jimon.
Who?
Yeah.
On Guardians and stuff. But they don't find him till later.
Yeah, it's one of the episodes, basically.
Yeah, because they just, you know, like I said, they meet Charlie Hunnam, whose name is Kai, and they meet him at a cantina bar.
He's the pilot. So you got Gunner,
they get this...
Kai, and Cora on a ship flying to find Titus. And they find...
And then they get to this... Then they go to this planet where it's like this guy is a slave over a Harry Potter creature. He's like...
Yeah,
he's
Griffin. Like, a Griffith or whatever.
He's,
Hippogriff or something like that. It's got a wings, giant... creature with the wings. I have no idea.
Tarak?
Did not know his name until you said it.
I think his name is Tarak. Yes, Tarak. I mean, look, these guys look the same.
Some I mean, you see him, he doesn't have pictures. A shirt on, and he's got long hair and a tan.
Right.
Or whatever his, you know.
And they do the whole thing, ethnically like, I'll free ambiguous. Him. If he can, his slave owner is like, I'll free him if you, if he fights this,
if he tames the hippogriff.
Hippogriff.
And he does.
And he does, and of course.
With his
hair. And then his the guy said, like, well, you're free.
His hair flows in the wind. And he, you know, epically tames this thing. So,
right, which the thing didn't. It wasn't even a fight. It was more like they get along.
Mm-hmm, they friends thing. Anyway.
But then he ordered.
Then he tells him to kill the guy.
Right, yeah. Then he tells him to kill the slave owner. Then the slave owner gets killed by the Harry Potter creature. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, well, you could have did that at first. That was
so
a whole
now
waste.
Them. And so just, he's there.
So now they got that. Yeah, so now they got their that team. Now they get one more person. Well, not one more because they haven't got to Titus.
So they get
yet.
The
they go
the lady with the lightsabers.
Yes, her name is Nemesis.
That's a cool name. I wish I knew.
That is. I don't. I wish I knew too. I had to look. Was. I did not know that. I refer to her as the woman with
lightsabers,
the lightsabers.
Yeah. That's a cool name.
But she is pretty badass.
Yeah, I wish we saw her movie. Cause she actually had like her story was interesting looking. Like she had this, there was this like, what was it spider creature?
Woman. Creature.
Yeah, she had to fight like, that was kidnapping children. Yeah, and it's like yeah, and she was trying to save the planet and like no, don't save your planet. Go and help us protect the grain on the moon. You know, it's like okay, we'll leave the kids to be tortured by the spider women. But she killed
the
lady.
She has this fight against
which was epic. Yeah, that was a good fight scene.
It was that was the best scene in my opinion. That was probably my favorite scene.
Because she gets double sword, two hand sword, lightsaber fight.
Because she has like robotic like hands. And
so
stuff.
Technically, it's a red light. What is it? It's not light. You can't say lightsabers. Disney will get you.
Right. It's
glowing.
It's laser swords. I don't know. Yeah.
Yep.
So obvious.
It's very obvious. So.
And so then they meet up with and so in between these scenes of these guys recruiting, it's just scene by scene.
It's back
it's
to
like,
back.
Oh, we recruited this
no,
guy. Okay.
We don't know who they are. We don't know why they want to
no
come.
There's no interaction.
There's
they're
no,
just standing. It's like
so random. It's no development and you don't know who those people are. So, yeah,
right. They just next person, next in line.
Yep.
That's how
that's
it is.
Literally
like,
how
no
it is.
Between
nothing.
The characters.
There's no it's that's a good thing. It's like, how do they interact with each other? You know, like Guardians of the Galaxy. You know, like there's a couple people that are like you know buddies, and then there's like a couple people that are like at each other's throats, and then there's a couple people that are kind of odd. So it's like an interesting dynamic with the team. Every team in the history of teams development. Has some kind of interaction. There's some kind of conflict between the characters. It doesn't have to be angry, but it's like some kind of like, you know, that. But it's like, this is just like, we're all here and, you know, we're all following the leader.
In line to the next person.
The only conflict was the one that rebelled against, well, that was a traitor. That was the only conflict.
Right, Kai.
And that was why he was the most interesting character.
So they meet Titus. And he's like a gladiator or something like that. He had to fight. And I barely remember his scene because I just remember he didn't really do much. They just like, come with us. He's like, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he was kind of like giving up on the world and just like mad. You know, like,
oh, yeah, that's
like,
what it was.
I'd rather
was like
die.
And... Right. He was like, I can't. I'm terrible. Please. Okay.
Yep. That was it. And then they, and I still didn't know what they were doing. Like they were trying to go to the Death Star or something.
They're trying to go to that farm planet.
They were already on the farm planet. So they were trying to get, they were trying to get Titus.
She's trying to recruit
people. To go back.
Yes.
Oh.
So and that's why she's recruiting people. She needs people to fight.
Because the farm planet is not strong enough because they're just farmers.
Right. The farmers are just farmers. Yeah. They can't fight. And they need to defend themselves from the Empire.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but they'd get another character and you definitely forget about these characters that I'm about to mention.
I don't even know who you're talking about.
All right. So it's a black guy and a black woman. And so the black woman, her name is Devra.
Okay.
Dev.
I think I remember Devra? Them now.
And the,
because they were like part of the Rebel Alliance or something.
Something, but they recruit him and they also get another character with him, like this girl or somebody. You definitely don't remember her, but she's in the second movie as well. Because people forgot, because I was watching reviews and I was like, I forgot this character. Yeah, people were saying about that at her. All. She...
So, yep.
And... So she comes with them because the black girl doesn't go with them.
She don't want to do like, it. She's I have like, to do yeah, this. Because, yeah, there's some kind of opposition with the Rebel Alliance. And she's like, well, come protect the moon. And like, no, we ain't got time to be dealing with this little moon stuff. We got other things to deal with. So, but the Rebel Alliance is like, whatever. I don't care about y'all. But the brother was like, I'll come. And so they came and they ended up going onto the ship and they ended up fighting. And that's when we find out, because they were like, that's where we find out Kai was a traitor. He's like, hi, y'all thought y'all was running away, but I brought Darth Vader here to kill everybody. And so
whose name is Atticus.
So yeah.
Yes.
So it's like, oh, he comes and they fight, and then, you know,
the black guy dies.
I don't remember, but he dies. And then there's a little fight scene and there's people that, so they gotta find the rebel base, which, you know, that's what they, which I'm like, okay, that was part of the plot that I didn't know.
Oh, and the Korra, I think she stabs Atticus.
Yeah, she thought it looks like she killed him. Like that.
Right, right. I think she basically does kill him.
She stabs him in the heart, and then he falls to his death.
But the Empire kind of brings him back.
That's
to
what
life.
We see at like, the end or the beginning of the second. Yeah. So it's like, oh, you know, he didn't die. So that they kind of ended on a slight victory on the Rebel base. I mean, the Rebel people kind of won after they killed Atticus, and that's the end of the first one. But they were like, all right, now we got to protect the planet. So now the team has been developed and we know who all they are.
Now we get some personality. Yeah, now we can get some second two, interaction.
We'll know who they are. We'll build up the
bump heads, we'll build and all that stuff. Spoiler alert, we get some backstories.
Yes. Yes. Can you tell all of the backstories in one sentence, Josh? You said that. You just like, just tell it all. What's the backstory?
Okay, the backstory is you have the character that joined the team, their past, where they were happy in their life, and then the Empire attacked and killed a bunch of people that they knew.
And loved.
And now they're alone, and they want revenge.
That's every single person.
Every single person's
exactly
backstory.
The same. All seven characters, or however many it was. They all have the exact same backstory. And they all
but
say
Nemesis,
it.
Hers is a little different, though, because she cuts her own arms.
That was part of the backstory?
Yes.
Why?
They showed her
doing. Why did she cut her arms?
I don't know why. I missed something.
So by the time you see her, she's robotic hands.
Right.
That's why she can hold the lightsabers or something?
I guess, but
so she cuts both her arms at the same time.
I guess
she cuts one arm.
I remember her cutting one of them because I know it's both arms, but I don't know how she cut both of them.
I don't know why
she did it.
And I don't think
make her
characters.
She's
we didn't really feel for the characters at all ever,
man.
And I'm like, even the people that died in the first one, I was like, okay, they were probably the best characters. But then,
yeah, they had a little bit of story, a little bit. I mean, the black dude, though, I was like, I didn't really
develop any emotions
the,
behind
the,
him,
the,
except
the
fact
leader
he was
of the leader of the grain people. When he died, I wasn't surprised, but it was just it wasn't supposed to be funny, but I thought
that
it
was at the beginning, so
yeah. So that's the only main characters I can think of that died.
Yeah. And yeah,
but in the second movie, they got this one character. He's like fighting all these soldiers when they so of course the Empire comes back and they're attacking the farm.
The Empire strikes
and
back.
They got this one guy. Yep, they do. Except it's called Rebel Moon Part Two. The Empire Strikes. It's actually called Part Two: The Scar Giver. So I guess they're talking about Korra, mm-hmm. And we got to talk about Korra's backstory too, because she.
Oh yeah,
her backstory is revealed a little bit
now,
more too.
Now the thing about this, the thing about the backstories is, and this is where I get a little bit irritated. They do they do give you like clips, you know, of the backstory, but it's very just narration, slow motion, same like thing. Like every person's backstory is like that. So it's like, and it's, they literally sit around a table and they say, tell us your backstory. And they say, and right, each person,
yeah, that's exactly, sells, yeah, Titus, yeah, is the ones.
And I was like, maybe they thought, it was like, oh yeah, we need some more character development. They heard about that. So it's like, crap, we need to add that in there real quick.
Let's put a scene, yeah, because
it probably wasn't even there at first. That probably was like, you know what, let's go ahead. And
can you imagine if the Avengers did this? Oh my goodness. If you was watching the Avengers, like, hey, we didn't get any of the Avenger movies. We just got the first Avenger movie. And they're just like,
tell us your backstory.
Hey, and right. You got Tony Stark telling it, like, hey, tell us your backstory. Well, you know, I was in this cave and, you know, and yeah, I was a rich guy. And then I had to build this Iron Man suit. Oh, okay. All right. Captain America, what's your backstory? Well, I used some super soldier formula and I got frozen. And here I am. That's pretty much how it was.
That's exactly how it was. And it's out. It probably lasted about a good, maybe 10 minutes total with everybody together.
I would say 10 minutes total, maybe 15 minutes. But
each person was like a minute. I would say
each person's was like maybe 3 minutes.
Maybe
I would give them
a minute and a half. But yeah. Okay. Because it didn't take that long. They just said something very simple and then they moved on to the next person.
Yeah, because I remember the guy that fight the Gryffindor thing or whatever. He was like, he was a prince or something.
I don't remember nothing.
His parents got killed.
Yeah, I remember that part. I
remember his mom jumping off, yeah, of a building.
So is that how he became a slave?
I don't know. I was waiting on that. Like, did somebody grab him and say, nah, you were,
yeah,
a slave?
Yeah, they didn't say that. Or, yeah,
if they did that, I would remember.
Yeah, that would have been something to remember. So, anyway.
But Korra's backstory, she was, like, protecting this
princess?
Yes.
She was, like, a bodyguard, like, of the Empire. Like, Princess Leia's bodyguard.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like that. And she ended up killing
Queen
Amidala's
bodyguard.
Yeah, because like they captured the king. I think they captured the king and they killed the king.
But she killed the princess on purpose?
I think so.
Why?
I don't know.
But she felt bad about it. She felt bad. She was like,
Yeah, she felt horrible because they have a scene together or something like that. Well, not necessarily a scene together as in, you know, bonding, but more like she watched the princess and the princess like had healing powers or something like that. She was like, I watched her pick up this thing and heal it.
Yeah, I remember that.
Bring it back to life and stuff. And I was like, oh, okay, cool.
That was probably the most sci-fi of the whole movie was the flashback.
Yeah, yeah. And then of course, at the very end of the movie, Titus is like, by the way, the princess is alive.
Oh, what?
Well, we must go find,
yep,
her.
So, and that is the movie ends. Next movie. We're like, we're going to have another one.
Right. But of course, you got the big fight scene.
Yeah. So, this movie, half of the movie, literally 1 hour and 10 minutes of the movie, was them looking at the grain.
Yeah, I was not paying attention to
it.
The
was
first
like
half.
It was lit because the point of the movie was the Empire is going to come back and steal the grain from this planet, and they're going to protect.
Oh, yeah.
They were going to protect the planet, so they have an army that they're building up. They're building up the people, and they're building up the army, and they got the seven, you know, warriors that's, you know, from everywhere else, and they're building up and training the army and harvesting all the grain. And so they just showed a lot of the grain being harvested, you know, cultivated and planted and pulled out and milled and all the things that you do in slow motion and, you know, for an hour. It was really a process on how bread is made from the planting.
But they trained the people.
They barely showed that. They showed more of how the wheat grew. You know,
and then they had a scene. I'm surprised you didn't bring it up of the quilts.
They gave
the main team members a quilt. Now you can explain that because I was barely paying attention to that.
I mean, the
scene.
Thing is, there was one person, I don't know who it was, that was a part of the village. That was like, you know, I don't even remember if it was like after.
Was it the girl that was?
Maybe it was. I feel like that made the most sense. But so somebody made a quilt that had personalized each character that, you know, we got introduced to in the first movie. They were like, okay, now, and they have special unique things. So like each person had like a quilt that had a special design with a special like emblem that was specifically designed for them. And it was such a, such a moment of like, you know, honor and you know, epicness of like, hey, like, you know, I give you this quilt because of your bravery and your tenacity. This quilt is for you because you are the most, you know, your heart is made of gold. And I'm like, we don't know anything about these people. And I'm like, what? I would love to know why these quilts are what it is. Like, it felt like we missed a whole development of them developing a relationship with the farm and the people.
There was a movie in between the two movies, and that's where you really got to see all the personalities and stuff.
That makes sense.
They went to a bar together.
Yeah.
They had a little side adventure where they had to all bond and stuff.
Yeah, that explains everything that we didn't see.
Right. I mean, I have to look up their names. I can't even tell you. Other than Titus, he was the only name that I actually remembered because he's from an A-list actor.
Yeah. And we know a Titus, you know, so. So, yeah.
So, they fight.
Yeah.
Atticus.
Yeah. He's alive. And, you know, they bring the, they bring the Death Star.
But we lose a main character. We lose
I have
Gunner,
no idea who that is.
Korra's boyfriend.
Did not know who he was and had no emotion at
he was
all.
There the whole time.
I didn't even realize that.
He was
that.
There. In every scene,
I didn't
he was
even
all the first
notice.
Movie. Every time they recruited people,
I
he was there.
Didn't even notice. I was like, who is this person that just died? Why is she sad?
Well, because they pulled the rug from you because they had another character. Like, he was like fighting these soldiers. This is all epic. I was like, who is this guy? It was like this one of the farm people. He's like, all epic fighting back and stuff, and then he gets killed and falls, and I was like,
I have no idea
who
he is.
I said, who was that guy? I literally said
they followed
that.
Him.
I was like, who was
and
that
he was
guy?
Like, man, he could fight the whole time, you know? He's one of the people on the farm.
I have no idea. Mm-hmm. I don't know who his name was.
Yep.
I don't know nothing about this guy, but he just, I was like, wow, okay, cool.
So, yeah, there's the movie just, I mean, it's just, there's a nice, the other half of the movie is a fight, big fight on the planet. You know, and everybody's fighting. It's, you know, pretty cool fight scenes.
By the way, do you know the name of the, you know, we were talking about the princess. Do you know the name of the king and queen?
No idea.
The characters' names? Mm-hmm. All right, I'm about to read the names. Their names are the king and the queen.
That's funny. Oh, goodness.
Might as well be, because I'm going to remember. He could be called King Amadeus for all. He could be King George. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It wouldn't have mattered. You could, all these guys could have had simple names.
It didn't matter.
So, and
that's when like Jimmy comes in, and now,
right,
you know, he was a pacifist, you know, before, like he was a, you know, they deprogrammed him that he can't kill.
But he
comes
out
with a cape and some horns and two guns and just kills everybody. Like, yeah.
All right, Jimmy. Yep. Then he runs away.
No. Oh, man, Jimmy. So,
we went through the characters and everything. So what would you say was your favorite character?
I mean, I told you, Jimmy, man, you know, I wanted his movie, and he was right. He did it. He was the best character because he understood that this movie was boring and he didn't want to be in it. So from the very beginning, he said, you know what? I am too epic for this movie. I'm going to leave, do my own movie, and I'm going to come back when it matters, when you finally actually fight, and I'm going to bring my guns and I'm going to kill to end the day. That's it. So shout out to Jimmy, the robot. He was my favorite character, hands down.
By another A-list actor, that's why. Mm-hmm. They gave all the big actors the better parts.
And I guess the close second would have been the one with the lightsabers. I would have liked it. Yeah, I would have liked her movie too.
So I agree. I actually have the exact same.
I just don't remember nobody else.
I'm gonna be honest. That's the same characters I like, man. For real. I forgot to mention that Nemesis, she dies.
Oh.
So she's a main character that dies.
I forgot. Yeah.
Because she has a really good battle scene. That's the thing. She might not have a personality, but she can fight.
She can definitely fight.
And she had the best fight scenes. So that's why I liked her. It's like, I paid attention when she was on screen because I was like, okay, she's badass. But then they kill her off. So, hey, you like her? Let's kill her off. So, how would you rate? Would you rate both of these movies the same rating?
Yeah, I see.
Or
So, when I first watched the first one, it gave me hope. Like maybe it just need to be expanded on, and maybe the second one will do that, you know? But now the second one's done, it makes the first one even worse. Even though the first one was better than the second one, it just made the first one even worse because it's like, it didn't even finish. It just did not develop the characters at all. So, I mean, like I said, it's, you know, cinematography is nice. The world is built well. You know, it's not a cheaply done movie, you know, so it's decent. And I don't even mind the world. Like, I don't mind that it's kind of like parallel to Star Wars a little bit. Like, that's the idea of, like, if it was written like a Star Wars movie, then he just changed a few things. That's fine. Like, that's not something I would be like, oh man, I can't believe they just stole Star Wars. Like, if he wrote a Star Wars film, then he just wanted to change, he just changed the characters up to be different characters, you know, and different, you know, main things. So I would say that I would put both the movies together because I think it could have just been one movie, and maybe it would have been better if it was just one movie because they could have cut out, an hour of
all that wheat
growing.
Put
it all into a 2.5-3 hour movie. If they cut that out, it would have made, because they still didn't develop the characters even with two movies. That's the thing. I was like, oh, I'm thinking Zack Snyder needs longer time because the Snyder cut made it work. So it would have worked as a TV series, but if he weren't going to develop the characters, it didn't matter, you know, because you could have had
Zack Snyder. That's what you hit something there. Zack Snyder needs to make TV series, not movies. That's probably what his thing is, because he needs more time to tell a story. I can tell he needs a lot of time.
But
he's a movie director.
If you can't develop characters in a movie, do you think you can do it in a TV show?
I know, right?
So because that made the Snyder Cut work and some of the DC movies work. Well, Watchmen.
Part of it is he's using other people's characters.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the thing. Watchmen has a whole comic book that the characters are developed, you know? Of course, yeah, Superman, Justice League, they've been developed for 50 plus years, 60, 70 years, you know? So it's like, you know who they are. You know, they're not, DC doesn't really dive into a lot of unknown characters as much as Marvel has done to help you to know them. So you need a little bit, which is
that's
a cheat.
Where James Gunn comes
that's
in.
A cheat because I think that if you don't know the characters, then you like, we need to develop them so the audience can know who they are, which any movie, we still need the characters developed, even if we think we know them already, you know? So it's like Superman
that's
needs
true.
To be developed. Flash needs, I don't care how many different shows that you've seen, they need to be developed. And I mean, that's what makes some of the origin movies work. You know, like Man of Steel actually worked.
It did, yes. It was kind of a long movie though, but it does work. But like, you know, the first Star Wars movie, which is Episode 4, mm-hmm. A New Hope, that's the first Star Wars movie. And the first Guardians of the Galaxy movie, both movies, you meet a crew of people in that
that's
one
true.
Movie, and you already know how they're going to be by the end of the movie. You already see people bumping heads.
Yep.
You see Han and Leia bump heads in the first movie already. You see her yelling at Chewbacca. Yep. It was like, okay, you see R2-D2 and C-3PO arguing with each other. It's like, boom, you got it from that first movie. Same with Guardians of the Galaxy, you know. You got Drax being kind of dumb and stuff. You got Rocket saying sarcastic stuff. You already know, by the end of the movie, it's like, okay, we know who these people are.
That's good.
These guys, we had two movies. We don't know these people.
And it's like the difference is not necessarily their personality, but what weapon they wield. You know, like that's the only difference in these characters. It's like, okay, their hairstyle or their weapons. You know, it's like they're not really like.
And you can do that with Ninja Turtles, because Ninja Turtles, they all have a different weapon, but you know their personalities.
And I think that's what makes Ninja Turtles work really good, is even that is like, okay, they could all have the same weapon. They literally look exactly the same, even, you know, now that they try to develop them a little different. But them looking exactly the same, except having a slightly different color headband.
Bandana. Right, yeah.
They had so much personality that it's like, oh my goodness, like that's why they're legends to this day. And I think that's where, you know, character development is essential in, and you can do it in 2 hours, you know? And I think that
you can.
What's missing is exactly what you said, Josh, is like they didn't have any interaction between the characters. And that's how you know, like, how you learn a character as an audience when we're watching is how the character interacts with other people, and not just like, you know,
how badass.
Right. Exactly.
Fight.
And that's cool, they can fight. And it's not because they sit down and let me tell you about my tragic past. That's not how you develop a character. Like, you develop a character from like normal things, and then some kind of conflict, some kind of interaction, some kind of spark, some kind of disagreement, some kind of like cultural like challenges. And this is the problem that I had with Discovery, Star Trek. Discovery is on its last season. And, you know, Star Trek, amazing sci-fi, love all the series. The cool thing about Star Trek, from the original to, you know, Strange New Worlds to Next Generation, the cast on the bridge have very distinct personalities, very unique personalities, and you fall in love with the characters, how they interact with each other and how they are. Like, that's literally the basis of good storytelling. And I think sci-fi, when it's done well, because when you have a world that you're like going into a whole nother place, what's going to keep you grounded and connected is, okay, there's some kind of humanistic characteristic that I can relate to, or some conflict that reminds me of a situation like, oh, that's like my cousins, or that's like, you know, how I am with my brother. You know, like, you can see that when you watch a show, or when you watch like Discovery, it was just very similar to this. It's like, okay, this, we got one main character, we follow her, we know who she is, but everybody else is like, who are they? What's their names? Like, after three or four seasons, there's people I still don't know the names of. And I'm like, and I love the show. I watch it. I mean, I won't say I love it, but I enjoy it, for I watch it regularly. And I think that if you give Snyder a show, he still ain't gonna know how to develop the characters. So.
And you know, even going back to his old work, like 300, we like 300, yeah. But other than the main guy. Yeah,
which is epic, you know.
What about the other guys?
I can't tell you. I won't be able to tell you.
So what's your rating?
Dude, it's redo? Over? Do over?
Do yeah, over.
It's a do over.
I agree. It's a do over. I would almost give the first movie a low replay because I did have fun watching it, but it's still kind of boring. I'm sorry, Zack Snyder.
That's it.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Well, that is our thoughts of Rebel Moon.
Yeah, man. Watch it at your own.
They're gonna have more. I heard about that. Because they ended.
They're going to have another one.
It's going to be like a six movie.
They're having another
series,
one.
Apparently ended
on a like, oh, now we got to find the princess. So now it becomes Super Mario.
Maybe they'll have some more characters because they killed off a couple of people. Gunner and Nemesis are dead. So, but hey, Jimmy might join them.
Maybe.
Now, so.
So.
He looked like he was going to join them. So maybe it'll get better. You know, like I said, the Justice League, the Snyder cut of the Justice League is a good movie. A long, good movie. Anyway, let's tell the people where to follow you at.
SmileyJason_ on Instagram and SmileyJason.com. You can look me up.
You can find me as Prop Josh or PropJosh_Productions on Instagram.
Okay. You got final thoughts?
I think you gave the biggest
already
about the development, because that's pretty much
okay then.
Yes, just character. I would say, final thought, just remember character, like make people love the character. That's where you make people invest into the movie more, because you love the character. That's because that's what got me with Guardians of the Galaxy. Never heard of them before. Yeah. Never heard of that comic before. And watching it, I was like, I'm in love with these characters now. By the time the third movie came out, I was like, I don't want to leave these characters. Yeah. That's how you do it.
Makes sense.
You
know? Okay.
That's why James Gunn is in charge of DC.
We'll see what happens with that.
Says Zack Snyder.
We'll see that. I mean, that Superman picture is trending so hard.
Oh my gosh.
There's so many memes. I love the memes. So many memes with the Superman.
I love the memes of Superman. Put his boot on. I want to do some memes myself with that.
Okay.
All right.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank everybody for listening. You can email us at wwwtbttpodcast@gmail.com. That's wwwtbttpodcast@gmail.com. For questions, movie suggestions, corrections, personal reflections, beat selections, no, like seriously, if you got beats and you want to hear them play during a segment in the show, just send them over. We'll take a listen. We're going to keep doing this. We're going to upload every Thursday, and hey, maybe we'll hit you up with a couple of surprises. Who knows? Who cares? Hopefully you do. Either way, you know where we be at.